Question number one. Describe how you impart God's truth at home, especially to children. Explain your answers. It varies from age to age. When our children were very young, we used children's books and children's Bible. We will read to them, my wife and I, at night. We make sure that before they sleep, we always have family worship and devotion together. As they grow older, the books that we use will increase in its depth and difficulty until our children are old enough to read on their own, and then we will use the Bible itself. We will try to help them, encourage them to attend all the church activities. We make sure that annual church camp is a non-negotiable activity because we understood very, very clearly from the very beginning, the importance of church camp in our children's life. Because we desire our children to have good Christian friends, to experience a Christian social experience before they experience the worldly kind. So that during church camps, they will have lunch together, they will have dinners together, and they're going to do things together. They study God's word together, they worship God together. We do not allow our children to have social outings until they are, I can't remember, either 16 or 18, after Sec 4, so that they must experience a Christian social framework as their basis and frame of reference to evaluate future social experiences. And so one day when they were old enough to go out with their friends after school, my wife and I said, okay, go. And they went out and they came back and their reaction was very pleasing to us because they said, we do not want to go out with them anymore. I said, why? Because we do not like the way they speak, the language they use, and the things they did. That would not have been possible if they have not experienced the Christian social life with church children, church friends. And that became their frame of reference. Their first taste of social life was Christian in nature. And so they already have an understanding that the words they use, the things they do and do not do, should be Christian in nature. And then when they taste the carnal worldly type, they do not like it. What if the reverse was their experience? They never had any Christian social life, and then the first taste of social life was of the world. And what they taste first may become their frame of reference. And then they will have Christian friends and Christian activities. After YF, after YAF, they will go out together. And then they might feel that we don't like Christian social life because our first experience, our impression of social life would be of the worldly kind. And that would have been a frightening nightmare for us because it's through their social life that they're going to find life partners. And then one day, our sons and our daughters may come and say, we want to marry this person, that person, and they are unbelievers. And that would break our heart. And so teaching them at home, imparting them God's truth is one way, and encouraging them to have a very healthy church life, to have good church friends, very helpful in our home life. I really know the children. They grew up together with my sons and my daughters. And so therefore, when our girls said they're going to marry this person, that person, we already knew the young men they're going to marry since they were young boys. We also know their parents. They're also from the same church. Same for our son. You know, marry this girl, we already know this girl. She was a young girl. We saw her grow up. We know the parents. But if it is someone from the outside, we have absolutely no knowledge who that person is, don't know the background, do not know the parents. And so this home life, God's truth at home, is strengthened and helped greatly by a healthy church life. That's why church life is so important in every believer's life. Number two, List, in your opinion, the three greatest stumbling blocks in Christian homes today. Now, my answer would be hypocrisy, parents who do not reflect how they behave as Christians in church, and how they must also reflect the same behavior at home. And our children may be very young and not realize it as toddlers, but as they grow older, they are going to experience it. The second is ignorance, ignorance of God's word. That is the bane of Christianity today. They do not know enough of God's word to behave as godly husbands and godly wives. And that has become the difficulty in later years, when you have to counsel fathers and mothers with teenage children, and the children are no longer getting along with mom and dad. And the fighting at that age, it's very, very painful. And it takes many, many years, sorry, hours of counseling in order, hopefully, to result in a God-honoring restoration. Sometimes, sadly, it does not work. And the strained relationship between parent and children remains even till today. Nothing anyone could do, because you can't turn back the clock and start all over again. So ignorance, it's a very, very real problem. It can be solved by studying God's word, so that you will not be ignorant. Third, cares of family life. Inflation, deflation, the economies of the world, and all those ideas and propaganda of the people of the world. Things are going to be so expensive, all kinds of economic reasons to frighten us, to cripple us, to paralyze us, so much so that we let it happen. And we fail to follow our Savior's words and counsel, but rather the words and counsel of men and women of the world. And so the cares of the world can choke and suffocate our desire to obey God's word. And so, it's the same all over the world. Inflation. That's why the Lord's solution, one day at a time. That's all you need to worry about. Just one day at a time. And all these cares of family life will be reduced to one day size. And it is so easy, and the load is so light. The burden is not heavy at all to carry. Just focus on your spiritual life today. And when tomorrow comes, again, focus on the spiritual life. What do you need for your physical needs? Food and water, right? That's all. I'm sure all of us have enough in our closet, the garments that we have, more than enough for, I think, an entire year. Right? Food. Just open your pantry and open your fridge. You definitely have enough food for one day. Even for a week, for many of us. Even for a month, for many of us. And so, therefore, what's there to worry about food and clothing? What about next year, my children's future? Live in the present. The future is something that you have to trust in the Lord to take care of. Don't let the voices of men to drown out the promises and the voice of your Heavenly Father and your Lord Jesus Christ. One day at a time, you trust me. When the time comes for you to need this and need that for your physical well-being, I will provide. Did I not assure you? You take care of your spiritual, I will take care of your physical. Don't change portfolio. Don't share portfolio. You take care of your spiritual, trust me to take care of your physical. All right, he will never break his word. Would you trust him? And your cares of family life will be resolved instantly. Number three, list in your opinion the three greatest stumbling blocks in churches today. Acts 20 warns us of the enemies that are outside, grievous wolves. Okay, and these grievous wolves are found within Christendom. So are you the kind who would like to listen to speakers from the internet? Are you able to discern and distinguish between grievous wolves and good shepherd? If not, be very careful. They are all out there. You like to read books? Be very discerning. Many of these modern Christian books are written by ecumenical churches, liberals and modernists and compromisers. More than 20 plus years ago, 30 years ago, We had one BP American author who wrote a commentary on the book of Daniel from a conservative perspective. He tried to send it to many of the Christian publishers in America. Nobody wanted it. Then he knew Reverend Toh. He brought it to Reverend Toh. Reverend Toh looked at it. And then Reverend Toh said, all right, Life Church will print it and sell it. Do you know why? Because publishers, they always want to make money. Then when you look at the Christian scene of our time, fundamentalism is dying. Liberalism, charismatism, they are flourishing. So when you print a commentary on the Bible that is for fundamentalists, fundamental churches are dying. Fundamental seminaries are dying, and many of them already dead. The market, very small. In the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, when fundamentalism was strong, publishers will print fundamentalist commentaries of the Bible, and there will be many people who will buy it. And therefore, they rejected his book. Reverend Toh printed it. Of course, it's not going to be in the hundreds of thousands of copies because in Singapore, we are a tiny little island. But at least it was printed, a small number. And therefore, when you read Christian books and commentaries of the modern era, be very, very, very discerning. Most of them are bad. Inserted in them will be wrong interpretation. You believe it, you practice it, you share it, you have just become a false teacher. That's why grievous wolves outside, be very, very careful. This phone of ours, I call it the devil's device, now give us access to the world out there. So easy for the grievous wolf to come into the church and into the home because of this devil's device, the phone. In the past, before there was this invention, you have to switch on the television and tune into the charismatic channel. Otherwise, you keep them out of your home. You have to buy their cassette tape in the past. You got to buy their CD, compact disc, or whatever it is in order for you to pay some money to listen. Now you just pay for your Wi-Fi and all the messages are free of charge. So grievous wolf can come in at any time to ruin and wreck your faith. The second would be the enemies from within, according to Acts chapter 20. I call it cultism, where men will rise up from within and draw other men unto themselves. In other words, they will be your own pastors, your own preachers, who will present to you what you think may be God's word, but in reality is the pastor's opinion. And when you obey his opinion out of fear of your pastor or you desire to please your pastor, then he has just made you into his image. He has just drawn you unto himself rather than point you to the Savior. And the Lord warned us through the warning of the Apostle Paul to the elders of the church of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. Be very careful after my departure. These are the two enemies that will destroy the church. Grievous wolves from outside, and men from within. Within more dangerous, because you know them. You fellowship with them. They may be related to you. You talk to them. They helped you before. And that's why when you have churches where the members will keep saying, pastor says this, pastor says that. Did you ask the pastor? If the pastor did not give permission, you cannot do it. That is already a symptom of cultism. It should be the Bible says this. The word of God says this, not the pastor. He is not your savior. He is not your Lord. So be very mindful and careful. It's very subtle, very dangerous, and very deadly. Third, other than cultism, again in the church, the danger is lack of discipline where the word of God is taught and preached but not obeyed, practiced. Disunity, lack of discipline is very, very real in many churches today because we're all related. All of us by marriage, my three children married to church members. So by default, many of us are related. That's why one day, God willing, if the Lord Jesus Christ tarries 10 years from now, when we have our Chinese New Year reunion, we hold it in the church because for everybody, you're all related. Reunion dinner, 1,000 of us. Not related. One big, gigantic Chinese New Year reunion dinner. And that makes it even difficult, isn't it? You're related, so therefore, you did something wrong. Yeah, never mind, family. We cannot let that happen. We must maintain a standard of holiness, where church discipline, admonition, rebuke, all must be carried out. No point preaching at the top of your voice, and then it's just hot air. We don't follow it, we don't practice it, we don't obey it. But we have to. The moment we see sin, we have to deal with it. Otherwise, how and why would God bless such a church when known sin, known sinners are permitted to behave as if they have not sinned and they are not sinners? We all know it, but because they are my relatives, we must not let that happen. Amen.